We're still on our theme of virtual concerts, how the Juno Symphony has refined it to an art form. Welcome to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. It's great to have you join us as we spend some time sharing some of the great things that are going on in our community. And here's one of them. Dvorak's String Quartet No. 12 in F major, one of the pieces that's going to be performed in the Juno Symphony's upcoming festive finale concert, which premieres this Sunday at 3 o'clock. It's a virtual performance done in collaboration with this station, with KTOO, so you can watch as well as listen. And joining us to talk about that, we have Charlotte Truitt with us. She's the symphony's executive director, and Frank Felkel. He's the concert master and director. Well, since the pandemic, boy, a lot has changed, but it seems like the Juno Symphony has really tried to be creative in bringing virtual concerts. How do you feel about this upcoming concert?
Good afternoon. Oh, well, thank you. I don't know. We keep having to learn something new every time. This upcoming concert is our sixth virtual concert. So we've learned a few things along the way, and certainly by going to multiple locations, it's been something new to learn each time. We've been at Mindenhall Glacier, Holy Trinity Church, State Library Archives and Museum, the Klan House at the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, and this weekend we are at Eagle Crest Ski Area. And so it's been exciting, and it's been a fun adventure, and certainly lots to learn. And we couldn't be more pleased with the collaboration with KTOO, Betsy Sims of Studio A, our musicians. I think I totaled up, we have about 68 musicians who had opportunity to play during the pandemic. And it's been very exciting. And we're so grateful for the support of the community and all those who are partnering with us to make it happen.
Franz, I imagine that typically before a concert, when it's before a live audience, that you probably get a little butterflies, maybe the musicians do, kind of have to build up this energy to go before a live audience. So is it a change of pace to be able to sit back and watch the concert on TV?
Kind of funny. The first time we did this, I still got those butterflies. I think all the musicians got those butterflies. Now, this time, you know, after doing it six times this year and me knowing the drill, you know, those butterflies subsided a little bit when we first started recording. But I know, I mean, I talked with the musicians who had done it for the first time this time, and they, you know, they said it's a weird feeling. There's no audience, but you still get nervous, you know, because it's still, you know, it's still a recording. So, yeah, but it's nice to kind of sit back and watch the show happen without, you know, being involved 100% of the time, you know, in it, and you can just sit back and relax. We don't often get to do that.
So what about this location? Because when you regularly perform in a theater, you're sort of used to its acoustics, and there are some regular venues that you have. I know you switch them up sometimes, but how about performing at Eagle Crest? What was that like?
Actually, it was quite nice. You know, I wasn't expecting great acoustics, but, you know, the whole building, it's got really tall ceilings, and it's wood, and it's got carpet, which can be nice. It kind of deadens the sound a little bit. And Eagle Crest was wonderful for acoustics. And actually, most of the places that we were able to record and perform in had great acoustics in and of themselves.
Yeah, that is kind of intriguing. I guess it's opened the horizon, so to speak, widened them for where you might be able to perform in the future.
Definitely. I think the first time I walked into the Klan House where we recorded, I looked at Charlotte. I said, why aren't we having chamber music performances here every week. It's a wonderful space, and it's perfect for chamber music.
Boy, I have yet to hear music performances there, and I really look forward to that opportunity. And to sit in that room, you feel like you are in a womb. One of the things that intrigues me, and Charlotte, maybe you can answer this as the executive director for the Juno Symphony. On your webpage, I love the little slogan that you have, "Keep Arts Alive." And it seems like that in itself has been a very creative activity this year.
Well, it has kept us very busy. You know, we've really tried hard to continue keeping our musicians active and our audience engaged. We've found ways of connecting with youth through music theory classes, which Franz conducted over Zoom in the fall, and involving young people in our concerts. We had high schoolers involved in our holiday brass concert, and they will also be involved in this coming concert as well. I think folks got to hear a little bit of them at the opening of the program. But we've tried to keep everything moving forward. We contributed to the youth music departments at the high schools to provide some additional funding for their microphones and things as kids are trying to work from home. You know, things are opening up now, and I think things are on their way. But it's certainly very important that we keep the arts alive and in the minds and hearts of our young people that are coming up. They will be the future of our orchestral music. And we don't want to see a big gap. We're trying to help fill those areas so that there's not a big gap a few years from now, for sure. So, I think a lot of people have joined together to be very creative to make things work.
Well, Franz, the one piece that we played coming into this interview was the Dvorak string quartet piece. And I understand that three high school students were performing in that. How do you feel when you hear those students at that level being able to keep up with the adult members of the orchestra?
Oh, I was so proud of them. That's the last movement of Dvorak American Quartet, which is a really famous quartet. And two of my private students, Lila Quigley and Alex Yu, were on violin. And then our principal cellist, her student, Megan Johnson, her student, Finn Morley, was playing. And then they got to also work with our principal violist, Julia Bastuchek. And she performed with them. And so it was great. It was really special to hear them. I told Charlotte I was more nervous watching them record than recording myself. But they did a great job. And I'm so happy that they were able to be a part of this production.
So what does this say? When you see kids perform at that level, what does it say about the symphony? What does it say about the community?
It means that Juno has always had a really productive arts community since I was growing up. Before I was growing up, I'm a product of the Juno arts community and the music community, and I think it's continuing. And even through these hard times, it continues to grow, and we see that in our youth today and at the quality of their playing.
So this is your finale of the season. Charlotte, what are some of the things that we might look forward to? Because it sounds like looking at some of what's coming up, that it's a mix of classical and jazz.
Yes, this concert is kind of modeled after what we would typically have as a pops concert. So a lot of popular music, of course, and combination of classics and then some more current music, such as we have a unique offering is an octet of trombone. Eight trombones are playing together, and we even have a number where we have a rhythm section backing them up. So they'll be sharing pieces like "Gonna Fly Now" from the Rocky movie, "Georgia on My Mind," "Deep River," "Cabbage Town Blues," "The Lonesome Road" from James Taylor, "Amazing Grace," the American folk hymn, and it's just incredibly beautiful in the arrangement. And then "Back to the Fair" is another popular one. Folks will know that as the Scarborough Fair. It's a more well-known title of that. But we have an amazing group of musicians gathered. And I think there's going to be a little something for everybody to enjoy. And people will recognize a lot of this music. Franz and Alan Young had a lot of fun sharing a little bit of classical humor with everybody. and a great little PDQ Bach piece. I don't know, Franz, if you want to chat about that a little bit.
I think we'll save it for our audience. Just know that there's a surprise in store. Not all classical music is serious.
It's all serious music, very serious. So,
well, Miko Wilson in our television production department was able to provide me with a few little clips, and I just have to play this. This is the trombone section being very robust. So let's take a listen. Now that's really fun to listen to, those deep bass tones. Must have been fun to watch.
Yeah, it's a really great group of very talented musicians, and we have a feature on that one with Mike Busey, who many people know in the local jazz scene here. He's really a phenomenal jazz trombone player. That's kind of his forte, and he's featured in a couple of the numbers.
All righty. Well, before we wrap things up here, we better tell people how they can partake of the finale, the grand finale of the season.
Well, our festive finale can be purchased on our website, and just go to junosymphony.org. You can get those tickets there. It's $30 per household. And if you want to share and buy another ticket for friends and family near and far, we've had people from 13 cities in Alaska and 18 states around the country being involved. So if you want to showcase Juno and let people see Juno, this is a good opportunity to do that. And those gift subscriptions are just $15. So just head over to junosymphony.org and we'll get you set up. You can watch the concert for 2 full weeks on demand. So if you're not able to watch Sunday at 3 o'clock, that's fine. You'll have the link available for 2 full weeks to watch as often as you want, whenever you want during those 2 weeks.
All right. Well, I want to thank both of you for joining us today to give us a preview of what sounds like a fun event coming up. And you have a lot of options in front of you. Thanks, both of you.
Thank you.